Be back home again. And we feel right at home here in Peterborough at Edmiston Heights and get to greet so many of our dear friends here. And if I haven't got to you yet, just try and grab me sometime here before we get away. So let's just commit our time to the Lord. Father, we come to you this morning in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we pray that you would speak through your word to our hearts. And we commit ourselves to you now, asking your rich blessing in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. This morning I would like to consider various ways of looking. All of us who have eyesight can be thankful that we can see. And for those who do not have eyesight and are blind, what a tragedy that is. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to one of the most important passages of Scripture in all the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 1. Likely the most important words in all of Scripture. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Verse 16. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the dark, from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. When we look up into the heavens, the work of God's creation, it is vast. And we ask ourselves, how big is God? How big is God who made all of this? Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, the entire universe. Then we might ask, how big is God's universe? If we can understand eternity, eternity past and eternity future, then possibly we can begin to understand the scope of God's creation. It is unmeasurably large, beyond human understanding. Man has invented and deployed telescopes which allow us to see further into what God has created. And in recent years, the Hubble telescope has allowed us to see much further into what God has created. Just imagine this. God just spoke the word, and the universe appeared. It was created from nothing. God just spoke and it came into being. There might have been a big bang, as some people think, but I tend to think that it was silent. God just spoke the word and the universe appeared in its greatness and its magnitude. Astronomers tell us that they are able to see millions of light years into space and do not yet know how much further it goes. Right now, the moon is spinning in an orbit around our Earth at a speed of 2,300 miles an hour, and our Earth is spinning in an orbit around the sun at a speed of 66,000 miles an hour. Maybe you didn't realize you were moving that fast. We think we're just sitting still in a pew, but our Earth is traveling at the rate of 66,000 miles an hour. in an orbit around the sun. Astronomers can see millions of galaxies far beyond what we ever imagined. They speak of millions and billions of light years. And we ask, how far is that? Well, the speed of light is 186,000 miles a second. And we multiply that times days and years. And well, if you gotta have a calculator, it'll likely go up in smoke trying to calculate how far these billions of light years are away. Needless to say, it is a gazillion miles. I don't know whether that's a number or not, but a gazillion miles. God's creation is humongous. Then we think of the subdivision in which we live, called the Milky Way, in which there are billions of stars and planets. If we're outside in a dark place at night and you look up and there's little or no ambient light, we can see the canopy of stars in the Milky Way. And there's an infinite number of stars and planets. Then there is a very small speck in the Milky Way, the planet Earth, on which we live. And as you consider that, you realize how insignificant and small our world is compared to the universe that God has created. And then I am only just one little human being among the millions that live on this little planet Earth. And you begin to understand how insignificant and small in comparison to the almighty, holy, all-powerful God of creation. Then there's pompous people like the leader of North Korea and other leaders of world organizations. And they really aren't as big and as powerful as they think they are. God says that all the nations are but a drop in the bucket. We aren't as big as we think we are. Turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8, beginning at verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? And over again, please, to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 4. He counts the number of stars. He calls them all by name. And verse 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Again, we ask ourselves, how big is God? Our Almighty God knows every star and planet that he has created for his glory. In Psalm 147, verse 4 says, he counts all the stars and he knows them all by name. How awesome is that? Psalm 139 also tells us that Almighty God knows all about us personally and individually. He knows when we lie down. He knows when we rise up. He even knows the number of hairs on our head. And for some of us, it's getting fewer every day. Maybe not too high a number, but God knows every infinite detail about us individually. He even knows our thoughts. How big is God? Our Almighty God knows every star and planet that he has created for his glory. He counts all the stars. He knows them all by name. How awesome is that? Scripture tells us God is omnipotent, or he is all-powerful. He is omniscient. He knows all things. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. no matter where you could go on the face of this earth or anywhere in this universe, God knows all about you and where you are and what you are doing. Those words from Psalm 8 are on the planet Moon. One of the astronauts from Cape Kennedy in Florida, the Space Coast, left those words on the planet when he was there. He is a born-again Christian from the chapel in Florida there called Bethany by the Sea, where Dan Sneddon, a Scottish preacher, became pastor there in Florida and led this astronaut to the Lord. And when he went to the moon, he took those scripts, that verse with him, and it is still on the moon. When I consider all that you have created, what is man that you are mindful of him? God is unfathomable, indescribable, incomparable, unsearchable, infinite, holy, eternal. And God is a loving God. This God who created the universe loves you and me individually, even though we are so small and insignificant. John 3 and 16 tells us, "For God so loved the world." So loved the world. And it's not the sphere of the earth that he loves so much. It's the people he created who are on the world. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." How awesome is that? This Almighty God of creation is my Heavenly Father. And for many of you here today, you can say that he is my Heavenly Father. And he invites us to talk with him personally. And we can talk to Almighty God in prayer, as has been already prayed in your presence this morning. We talk to God Almighty. And he invites us to talk to him. And like Moses in Genesis 33 and 11, Moses talked with God face to face as a man talks with his friend. And we can talk to him at any time and in all circumstances. And if we are quiet in his presence, we will hear God speak to us. How awesome is that? Almighty God speaking to me and to you individually. The precision and balance of all that God has created, all the planets all in orbit and spinning around, they're not crashing into each other. They are all under the almighty control of the Son of God, according to Colossians 1, 16 and 17. As we look upward at God's creation, we get a glimpse of how big and powerful is the God of creation. Yet some feeble-minded people, they think that the universe just happened by itself. Well, how can that, you know, nothing can't make itself any more than nothing. And some people think that we sprang from something that slime that crawled up on the shore and turned into some kind of a lizard, and it evolved in one thing to another. How come we still have slime on some shores? Is that more people on the way, or what? I think the people that think that way are just slime themselves. But anyway, that's my personal opinion. The reason that they deny that there is an almighty, holy God of creation is because they do not want to be accountable to God. But everyone is accountable to God. And after we have looked upward and see Almighty God of creation, then we look inward at ourselves. As we see the greatness and attributes of Almighty God and how insignificant and small we are in comparison, we ask ourselves, as the psalmist did, what is man that you are mindful of him? Yet we as human beings are part of God's creation. Genesis 1:26 tells us that we are created in the image of God. God made us as human beings in his own image. We are the crown jewel, so to speak, of all God's creation. We realize how far short, though, that we are from what God expects and requires of us. We have all sinned against God and come short of what God requires. We have rebelled against him and his lordship of all he has created. And folks, as I look at myself, and if you honestly look at yourself, you will find that you are a failure. And all our best and good things that we may do in the sight of a holy, almighty God is just filthy rags in his sight. We are not as good as we think we are. I'd like to describe a little scenario to you. In my experience, I've had a lot of court experience, not as an accused, but as a police officer. I've spent a lot of time in court, and I'd just like you to consider this thought. Suppose we have been arrested and are to stand trial before Almighty Holy God. The Almighty God of the universe is our judge. The charge is we have sinned against God. The charges are read out, and we are asked, how do you plead? And knowing ourselves as we do, we say, guilty. And we hang our heads in shame. Then all the evidence against us is presented, and we try to shrink out of sight in total embarrassment and shame. And the longer the details of our sin goes on, we realize just how desperate our situation is. As our guilt mounts up, we realize that we are hopelessly doomed. The judge then pronounces us guilty as charged, then asks, is there anyone who wishes to speak on your behalf? One man stands to his feet and says, yes, my Lord, I have something to say in this guilty sinner's defense. The judge says, you may proceed. This one says, I submit to this court the fact that this guilty accused person came to me one day and confessed his guilt and desperate need, asking if I could help. I gladly said, yes, I will take all your guilt, your sin, and unworthiness, and pay the total price you owe and cannot pay yourself to redeem you completely. This one goes on to say, I did this by suffering agony beyond anything imaginable. The hatred of mankind, the absolute worst that they could contrive. My back was scourged, a crown of thorns beaten down on my head. They spit in my face. They crucified me. I suffered ridicule and shame. I suffered the wrath of God. My blood was shed, and I died. But the third day I arose from the dead and am alive forevermore. The judge then asked and said, sir, what is your name? He replied, I am Jesus, the Christ, your son. I have redeemed this guilty person. He placed his faith in me and accepted the work of redemption that I accomplished for him on the cross of Calvary. The judge then said to me, you are forgiven. Your guilt has been paid in full. You are free to go. I, along with the whole court, erupted in a shout of rejoicing. And as I walked out of that courtroom into the sunshine of a new and glorious day, totally forgiven, I began to sing, I'm free from the guilt that I carried. I'm free from the guilt of my past. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. And I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free. Praise the Lord, free at last. The Lord Jesus Christ offers the same forgiveness to anyone who realizes their guilt and need and will come to him in faith and accept the free gift he offers to all. Today, as a forgiven sinner, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful is my song and shall ever be. How wonderful and how marvelous that Jesus Christ would suffer, bleed, and die for me. Turn with me, please, now to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, as a forgiven sinner and child of God, I am looking unto Jesus. Now, as we look inward, we do not see ourselves as guilty sinners anymore, but as forgiven sinners, and we see Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, where he intercedes for us. Oh, what a Savior! What an awesome Savior he is! How awesome is that? Aren't you thankful that he did all that for you? Have you ever accepted what he has done for you? Have you made peace with God? Then, as we look forward, read with me, please, check in Luke chapter 21. We have looked upward. We have looked inward. We have looked at Jesus. And now we're going to look forward. Luke 21, beginning at verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. Look up. As we look forward and as we see these things happening every day, if you want to get depressed, just turn on the news channel and see what crazy people are saying publicly. And things, if they keep on going the way they are, could lead to a disastrous war. And many hearts are failing them for fear for what is happening in our day and age. And as we see things happening, We are told to look up. Jesus tells us that the things will be happening on earth just before his coming again. And we read verse 28, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." In John chapter 14, verse 3, the Lord Jesus himself said, "I have gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." We look forward to being with Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer. And in Colossians, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him." Wow! We think that God created a beautiful, wonderful world before the fall of man. But even in our wildest dreams, we can't imagine how absolutely, spectacularly wonderful will be the place that God has prepared for those who love him. I have a neighbor who is a believer. He's kind of a strange guy. He said to me one day, not too long ago, he said, "I don't think heaven could be any better than what we've got right here." He says, "I sit out on my deck at the back of my house. The birds are singing." And he says, "It's just beautiful. And I don't think heaven could be any better." So I quoted this verse to him and said to him, "You ain't seen nothing yet." God is preparing a place for those who love him. Do you love him? We have an awesome future ahead for all of us forgiven sinners. The big question is, are you absolutely sure that you will be there? There's no better time to make sure than right now. Confess to God that you are a lost, guilty sinner, and ask him to forgive your sin, because he suffered, shed his precious blood, and died to redeem you from your sin. All you need to do is accept the free gift he offers to you today. Ask him to come into your life, save your soul, and be born again and made a child of God, and say thank you. He will save you and give you the assurance of eternal life with him in heaven for all eternity, in that spectacularly wonderful, beautiful place called heaven, with our loved ones and with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. You know, when we get home to heaven, it's going to be glorious. They tell us the streets are paved with gold. And people who think they're going to take their gold with them when they go to heaven, well, that'll just be road material. But heaven is such a wonderful place. We need to be sure, absolutely, positively sure, that we are going to be there. And as I shared with you a year ago when I was here about leading a man to the Lord in June, 2 days before he died, it was the forgiveness that God offered to him that convinced him to accept Christ as his Savior. And Jesus is willing to forgive you and make you complete and whole and acceptable in God's heaven. All you need to do is to ask him. I ask myself, what did I ever do to deserve this? And the Lord Jesus, my Redeemer, says, nothing. You couldn't do anything for yourself, but because I live you, I love you, I did it all for you. Just accept what I have done for you and thank me, and fall at his nail-scarred feet and worship him. Again, he says to me, as you look around you and see others in the same hopeless state, you were in, guilty, lost, and deserving only the punishment of God that we deserve for all eternity. Tell them to come to Jesus. He will do the same for them as he has done for you and for me. So why would anyone take the risk of having to pay the price of their own guilt in a lost eternity, separated from God for all eternity, when Jesus has already paid the price for them? Jesus loves each one so much that he has paid the price in full, the debt that he did not owe, and a debt that we could not pay. So come and just accept what he has done for you. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely cleanse you of your sin, and you can be made freely and eternally forgiven by trusting in him and what he has done to purchase the price of your redemption. He will take you just as you are, in all your sin and guilt and your unworthiness, and set you free. If you have put your faith and trust in the finished work that Jesus has accomplished for you at Calvary, even with all your faults and unworthiness, you've been born again into the family of God, and you are very precious and special to him. God loves you. God loves you so much that he gave his son to die for you. And our Lord arose from the dead and lives forevermore, and he's coming again to receive us to himself. God grant that you will take advantage of the free gift that Jesus offers to you today, as I did when I was 9 years old in Sunday school. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come before your holy throne, and we marvel at you, the holy, almighty, sovereign God of the universe, that we have access into your holy presence in and through the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray now, Father, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, speak to each one here and convict those who do not know you as Savior and Lord, that they may desire to have their sins forgiven and put their faith and trust in Christ, even where they sit there this morning. So, Father, glorify your name, and may you receive the praise and glory from each of our hearts, those of us who have been redeemed by your precious blood shed on Calvary. And may we thank you and praise you as we will throughout all eternity. Part us with your blessing, and go with us, we pray. We give thanks in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.